Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
You know, I guess every year kids start feeling Christmas around end of November, Thanksgiving. For 4 or 5 weeks, they just build up, and finally they get that feeling of Christmas. There's a certain thing to say. I also do a college football podcast. Every summer, about July or August, I start to get that itch, those goosebumps, getting ready for college football to start in the beginning of September. But for us, for wrestling fans, it really unofficially kicks off at that Royal Rumble when you start leading up to the big one, the big dance, the grandfather of them all, you know, WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania season, but now these days, especially this year, because they had two pay-per-views between the Rumble and Mania, which was weird. It was different. But now we've gotten through all of them. We're through another week, and we're 2 weeks out from Mania, and I have got the feeling. I've got that big fight feel in my body. This is why we do the podcast. This is why at 41 years old, I still watch this goofy stuff. It is WrestleMania season. And folks, for the first time on the show, I decided, hey, Brandon, your voice is the voice of the gods. You know exactly what you're talking about. There's nobody in the world that can host a wrestling podcast as good as you. Maybe all that's bullshit. Today, we're going to have a co-host on the show. This is wrestling.
My boss hit my line with an angry text saying something about B90X. I said wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. Then my phone blew up with a couple alarms. I got bets to make. I got worms to farm. I said wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. I'm a wrestling son of a bitch from a worm farm down on the Mississippi. And if you got a problem with the way I live, you could catch a chest chop then a super kick. Yeah, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
Welcome back into Wrestling, Barstool's professional wrestling podcast, hosted by me, Brandon Walker. Hi, how you doing? If you're watching on YouTube, which you're not because we don't put the whole thing on YouTube yet, you can see that I'm not alone. I have got a cohort, a co-host, a a sidekick, a helper, a co-pilot. I don't know how many ways I can say that, but I'm saying it right now. I don't know how many, for you sharp-eyed people out there, you already knew this guy was at Barstool. This might be your introduction to some of you to his being at Barstool. But Dan Vollmeyer is sitting about 4 feet to my, no, socially distanced, definitely 6 feet to my right.
Should I slide?
No, you're sitting, it's okay. A firm 6 feet. I can't even touch you, brother. That is Dan Vollmeyer right over there. Dan Vollmeyer spent more than a year, or right at a year, about a year, on the bump for WWE Network, and he now works as a producer at Barstool, but he's been inside the belly of the beast, per se, and now he is here. Dan, thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me here, Brendan. I am so excited. I'm here to just ride sidecar to your muscle motorcycle.
Thank you.
And just basically follow your lead. This should be a lot of fun.
So this is I started wrestling in December. I think we're about episode 18 or 19.
Okay.
And I've been noticing that, you know, as much as I love to talk about it, my voice gives out, and I need to balance. I need to counterbalance. And you, when you came into the company a couple of weeks ago, I think you've been here about 3 weeks?
2 weeks.
Two weeks?
Yeah.
But when you came to the company, I was like, wait a minute, I know that name. And I looked you up, and you've been on the bump of WWE. You had some on-camera experience, and I can't watch somebody with your credentials get hired and not just talk wrestling with you. I don't even care if these mics are on. I just want to talk professional wrestling with
you. That's what we get to do here, so I'm super excited.
All right, so on this show, we are, in fact, coming up headlong into WrestleMania. It is very, very soon. We're inside of 2 weeks. The card has taken shape. The main events have taken shape. The week is taking shape. We're now seeing a Hall of Fame class. We're seeing the NXT pay-per-view for that week. We're seeing exactly what the main events are going to look like. We now have a new entrant in the SmackDown side of things on the main event. So we've got all of that to talk about. We'll talk about This Week in Wrestling. We'll also get to our We Just Made the List, which we've got a couple of WrestleMania-themed ideas that we might do in just a second. We're, of course, going to talk about the good things happening, AEW, Dynamite, NXT. We have new Hall of Famers. We'll break down the Hall of Fame class. And, hey, there's a huge event in NXT this coming week. It is NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. It is April 7th and 8th, a two-night event. One of the main eventers of that is on this show today. His name is Karrion Kross. We talked to him last week. We've got an interview with him, about 25 minutes talking with Karrion Kross about Finn Balor, about NXT, about his tiny shirts, and why he has so many muscles busting out all over his body.
And well, you talk about movies as well. I thought
we do. We talk about his favorite Sylvester Stallone movie from the early 90s, which I took great exception to. I still think Cliffhanger, man.
Cliffhanger was really good.
Cliffhanger was really good. He's walking around shirtless. He has no... He's in the snow. You know, a woman dies in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's what had me hooked.
Everything I love about movies.
That's a good start to a movie for me. When I see a death of a woman within the first 5 minutes, you know, I'm sold. I'm sticking around for the whole show.
You know what that is.
It sounds like I'm a psychopath.
No, no, but you know what that is? What kind of plot device that is?
No, certainly not foreshadowing because something bad already happened.
But it's a cliffhanger.
Oh, my God. You see, I set that up for you, and I didn't even know I was doing it.
The fun thing is, it's not even a cliffhanger.
I know.
But
I know,
just came
know,
up with that, and I'm very brilliant. We'll have our top five. I don't know. You want to do top five Mania main events, top five worst Manias, top five venues? We might just do all fucking three. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out when we get there. Voicemails are coming up. But first, this is your first time on the show, okay?
That is correct.
But I want you to be comfortable. I want you to know this is a place where wrestling fans can kick off their feet and be happy and just know that you're among friends.
Mm-hmm. Safe space.
There's no better way to set the mood than with some great wrestling theme songs.
Okay.
This week we have a four-pack of themes. We just let them play, set the vibe, get the mood of the show going, and that's how we approach this. So we start the show off with themes. Jake, who is sitting in for Aria once again. Aria, I believe, will be back next week as long as everything goes well. Jake, if you can play theme number one.
I apologize.
You all right?
No. I'm just trying to get all my pieces together. I think I forgot that Umaga had passed.
He has,
so I just experienced it
was
once again.
Was Jamal Umaga? I, damn it.
Yes, he was.
We just killed
confirmed.
Two guys right at the beginning.
All
right,
so
you know what? You know what? I have the perfect theme to forget this ever happened.
I don't know if I'm...
I have the perfect theme.
I don't know.
Were you a WCW guy?
I'll tell you, it's an interesting story. I was so committed to WWE, I almost refused. I did refuse to watch WCW because I was so behind that WWE flag. I felt that I'd be cheating on them to flip the channel to TNT.
See, I was
I'd watch the commercials on USA.
I was the opposite. I was a guy that grew up a WWE fan, but then when Hogan went over and turned heel, I was like, WCW got me back into wrestling because in 95, 96, WWF, you know, it wasn't cool. And I was watching Hogan and them got me back, but then as soon as they got me back, here comes Austin, here comes Rock, here comes the Attitude Era to say, no, you belong over here for good. And I ended up going back. But I was definitely a WCW guy for a year and a half, 2 years that got me back into wrestling, and then WWE stole me. But I hope you will know this theme, though. So let's go with this theme, the greatest song ever written by human people. You're telling me that don't feel good? If that don't feel good, you fuck right off. Come on.
I mean, I don't want to get thrown off the show this early in. The song is one thing. The superstar, Disco Inferno, where does he sit?
Oh, don't give a shit about it.
Okay. Because when I hear Disco Inferno, I think of 50 Cent's Disco Inferno, certainly a classic. But this was interesting because during the time there was...
He's just a disco dancing fool. Sorry.
Can we turn my headphones down a little bit, please? Right. We just turn them down a little bit. It seemed like a WWE sort of act, right?
I mean, very much.
WWE, they had Sparky Plug, you know,
correct.
Race car driver.
Everybody had a job.
You know.
Duke the Dumpster Drosy. Yeah.
Exactly. It was its own Sesame Street, essentially, over there. And then you didn't have that really in WCW. They were trying to maybe go in another direction. But then Disco Inferno comes out.
Yeah.
So that seemed like he was the black sheep of that group. It's so funny because when I saw this list, I had to search. I thought Disco Inferno was going into the Hall of Fame. I have listen to a lot of your shows.
Yeah.
But I guess I've been missing the fact that Disco Inferno has become a staple here, 18 now, 19 episodes in.
I played, I think his owner's fifth episode, I played his theme a couple weeks ago just to get myself going. And it just works, man.
Yeah, your shoulders are moving.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I didn't even mean to along with you,
well,
but it just happened.
It's easy.
Okay, well.
Disco Fever. Yeah. And today.
Disco Fever.
Today, this actually fits. Karrion Kross, do you know who he was trained by? Disco Inferno. It's all.
Disco Inferno?
Who was he trained by? Is that what you're saying?
Wait, Disco Inferno trained? Really?
Disco Inferno, Glenn Gilberti, he trained Karrion Kross.
Because you did a nice tease last week, and I thought that that might be the case, but then I was like, no, there's no way. Because,
yeah.
I mean, they just seem like such polar opposites.
Right.
The in-ring styles don't seem to work, but that's amazing.
At least that's what his Wikipedia says.
And they're never wrong.
No.
I mean, it's gotten very good.
Wikipedia, you know, anybody can put anything, so you know you're getting the best information.
I'll tell you. I'm on Wikipedia all the time, especially for wrestling. There's a lot of good stuff on there, and very rarely is it wrong.
Ever.
I mean, I don't think so.
All right, so this week in wrestling, I'm ready. Are you ready? You got your mind right for wrestling?
Mine's always right.
We got printouts this week. I never print anything out, but we got printouts this week
because
we have a guest. Dan Vollmeyer, if you're just now listening in, although it's a podcast, so it's not like you wouldn't be listening from the start. You know what? Forget it. You already know who Dan Vollmeyer is.
This isn't on the FM dial?
He worked at, could be, someday soon.
One day, yeah. Right? Barcelona Radio?
97.9, The Axe.
Yeah, right?
With wrestling.
Afternoon Drive.
I don't know why it would be The Axe, though.
I would need like a horn or something or some sound effects.
Mr. Scream.
Yeah.
All right, so WWE Mania is taking shape. We've got 4 matches added since we last left you. I also want to talk about Dynamite in a minute. We want to talk about the Hall of Fame class and, of course, NXT. But WrestleMania is front and center. This is WrestleMania 37. There will be 25,000 people in the stands. People online still want to get indignant about that. They want to say, oh, they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be there. Listen, you don't want to go, don't go. If you want to go, go. That's the way I look at it. I just can't. If it's socially conscious of me, so my lunch came up. If it's socially conscious of me, whatever. I just want to see fans in the stands again. I want to hear a crowd. I want to see reaction. That might be selfish of me as a wrestling fan, but I don't care. I get to do that.
I think we're at the point now where we're ready to do this. We're seeing it with the NBA. We saw it at the Super Bowl. My God, I mean, same venue.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and do it. I mean, I really hope that Vince doesn't get an itch to break another record at the last minute and try to act like he's at the AT&T Center in Dallas. But
I don't think we can rule that out.
We certainly cannot. I mean, they'll bust people in from, who knows where. But it's going to be so cool to get those fan reactions.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I mean, we haven't seen fans react to something in a year. And I understand the Thunderdome is what it is, and it's better than nothing. But
it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's
working within the system that we have.
Correct. Given what is available, the Thunderdome has been fantastic.
I mean, think back to when it was just at the
Performance Center.
I mean,
you look
back at that stuff. That is sad.
Mania last year is hard to watch.
Oh, it was very
I was
hard.
Watching a top 20 video on the top 20 title changes at Mania.
I saw
that. They just put it out, and Drew's win last year was like number 17, and it just stands out like a sore thumb because everyone – and now we're so far into this pandemic, when you watch an event that has fans and crowds, you're like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Or why aren't they wearing masks?
Well,
what's wrong with those people?
I'm going to be looking for mask wearers. I think I will still, as much as I am excited to see fans in the stands, if I see masks off, unless they are drinking a cold one, I'm going to point it out and might even do a screenshot and do a little bit of a detective dick work.
You should screenshot.
I think
should out them.
That'll get me at least 3 or 4 likes on Twitter.
Have them fire from their job. That would make you feel better about your life.
Yeah, no, I think that would be something to do. I mean, it's not like you're saying something anti-Semitic, but I mean, you're certainly not contributing to society.
Well,
right?
I mean, we're only 9 minutes into the show. I'll get to the anti-Semitic stuff in a minute.
I know we like to do that at least in the second half.
Right. Yeah, second half.
Probably, right. We don't want to lose the audience right away.
Right.
Come on.
Oh boy. I guess I'll scratch off favorite racial slur.
Oh, man.
Top five slurs. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
I can say you say the word racial slurs without being a racial slur. That was okay.
You can say So what, you would see someone and call them a racial slur?
No, no, no.
Racial slur? Get out of the way.
I mean, you're slur? That
yeah. Slur word?
All right, so...
WrestleMania is shaping up. Are we going to talk about some of the matches? What are you most excited for?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I allowed to go off script here?
Do you want to host this?
In all of our pre-show conversations, it was, I'm excited to have you run the show. Dan plays sidecar. Spoken is to this, only when spoken at.
Is this a WWE sweatshirt that you've got?
This is a Royal Rumble. Yep.
That's an
when
awesome
it was
sweatshirt.
Back out in Houston, yeah.
That's a fantastic
yeah,
sweatshirt.
I mean, Texas, I guess, is a fun state. I wish it wasn't so prominent on here because people right. will ask me if I'm from Texas.
It's very big.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it has the little star for Houston, has the date right here.
Did you know that today, March 29th, actually, you tweeted the damn thing, didn't you?
Yeah.
Never mind. I was just about
no,
to.
No, what is it? Three?
Three. So it's WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 14, and 31. Three pretty good WrestleManias, right?
31, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Three was great. Three's an elite Mania. 14, very good Mania. That has Austin getting to the top. And mm-hmm. then 31 with Seth Rollins doing the surprise at the end. Three pretty good Manias.
Wow,
all
yeah.
on March 29th.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you know that, what's the day, April 5th or April 1st, that has this tie of four Manias on those days?
April 1st and April 2nd, I believe, are tied.
Have four Manias, okay.
Yeah. I feel like they're always looking for that first Sunday in April.
That's this is the latest Mania of all time this year, right?
It is, yeah. I guess, you know, why not give them an extra week to, I don't know, hose down the stadium with...
You think there's going to be hoses?
I mean, of Purell.
You know what I like to think? I like to think Austin backs a beer truck in there and he sprays off all the seats.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Like everything they've ever done. Like Kurt Angle has a milk truck on one side.
Right. Why does it smell like dairy in here? It's just
is,
like,
this, it stinks in here.
Yeah,
it smells like
wow.
beer and old milk.
Wow. But hey, there's fans in the stands. Who cares about the smell? Yes.
So we came again, into this. We came into WrestleMania 37 a couple weeks ago, and it looked like, you know, Edge wins the Royal Rumble. He comes back. I don't know that a whole lot of fans have really gotten with the Edge versus Roman story. I don't know if a lot of fans have really embraced Edge winning the Royal Rumble yet, because there's always the specter of Daniel Bryan hanging around. It seems like every single spring, every single Mania, the fans cling on to Daniel Bryan and they want him to get in the action. And now this time it's going to be Edge, Roman, and Daniel Bryan. And forget about the storyline. Forget about all that. It's going to be three professional-ass wrestlers in a triple threat. This is going to be very, very good quality.
Professional-ass wrestlers?
Professional-ass wrestlers, brother.
Okay. All right. I'm not familiar with that type of wrestling, but...
Well, you can put ass on anything.
So there's going to be some ass wrestling going on.
If I brought you some good pizza, I said, this is some good pizza. But then I said, this is some good-ass pizza. Which one are you eating? You're going to eat the ass pizza.
I guess it depends on how quickly you say ass after the word good. Because if we're going to have some good ass pizza.
Did I not say it close enough to professional?
Well, I mean, it sounded to me like there was going to be some ass wrestling. And I'm picturing it now. And actually, it's kind of, I don't know if it's main event WrestleMania worthy, but especially a triple threat.
You know what, though? I mean, there was a time that I'm shocked Vince didn't do ass wrestling.
I am too.
The Attitude Era.
And Rikishi and
I'm
Big
surprised
Show.
We didn't get Mae Young against Moolah in an ass match.
Yes, and Vince just in the middle of the whole thing.
I mean, he had Mr. Ass. He had Rikishi. He had asses everywhere.
We're going to have an ass wrestling match. Oh, you're fired. I mean, that, what
it
a missed
been,
opportunity.
It would have been Mr. Ass against Rikishi.
Yeah. Yeah, and the referee just right in the middle of it, calling it right down the middle, literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, boy, okay. So, no, it's going to be – so these three guys, whatever you think about the storyline, Roman Reigns is doing the best work of his career.
Absolutely.
I think he's been fantastic. So this head of the table is the best storyline he's ever been involved in. He is in command. Edge, you know you're going to get the goods with Edge. He never comes into an event like this and doesn't give you one of the best matches on the card. And then Daniel Bryan, once again, is in this spot, this high-profile spot. I think it has a chance to be a real, real special type match.
On paper, this is great.
Yeah.
My only problem is how they kind of rear-ended Daniel Bryan into this. I thought it could have been done a little bit cleaner. I mean, I think back to why he feels as though he's earned the right to be in the match. Because
right.
you go back to Fastlane, Daniel Bryan was the one that knocked out the referee. Daniel
yeah.
Bryan was the one who hit Edge with a chair. So you could make Roman tap all you want. It's your fault that you don't have a referee to call that tap. So
yeah.
that null and voids everything. I don't see a screw job having occurred with Edge coming in because, as you know, if you're a wrestler, if you get hit with a chair, all bets are off. Yeah. That wrestler is no longer going to help assist you in that match.
That being said, I don't know that I love. I wish we could have gone back to like January. And Edge is an all-time great, a Hall of Famer. I think I just would have had Daniel Bryan win the title and have it be Daniel Bryan against Roman Reigns. Eventually, that has to happen on top of a Mania, right?
And so where do you see Edge landing then?
I don't know.
There was rumors about another Randy Orton match.
I certainly didn't want that. No. I didn't want that at all.
No, not another 40-minute run through a warehouse.
I did not want that. That's a great question. But what we've got is what we've got, and I think it'll be very good.
Love triple threat matches. And you know what's good about this is that Roman can lose the title without actually doing the job, and that's what they want.
I think we're headed towards Daniel Bryan probably winning this match.
Really?
I think that's where we're headed. I don't really love the idea of Roman at the height of his career losing the title. I'd love to see him keep it, but even if he loses it, he'll probably lose it as the third party in the ring, and he'll have a claim to it right afterwards, and he won't go anywhere.
I mean, you don't think that this is all about Edge getting one last shot with the title? I mean, my God, they did it how many times with
Goldberg? But don't you think, Dana, if it were about that, why add Daniel Bryan? You already had him win the Rumble.
So Roman doesn't have to do the job.
So he doesn't have to eat the pin?
Exactly. That's what I think. And, I mean, how else is Roman going to lose? Because I don't see him losing any other way. It's an easy way to just shake things up, and Roman will win it back, you know, a couple months later.
Now, as far as the main events go, I think all four main events, I think there's some bad matches on this card. I think there's some very good matches on this card. Like, down the card, there's Seth Rollins against Cesaro, which has no stakes and is seemingly just built because this is WrestleMania, but they're taking a couple of internet darling matches from 10 years ago and Seth Rollins and Cesaro and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and they're kind of putting them on Mania. At the very least, they're going to be great matches. You know that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are always going
to
be great.
I mean, they've dreamed about being able to share this the spotlight at WrestleMania. So I know everyone's kind of saying, oh, we've seen this before. You haven't seen this. This is going to be completely different at Mania.
I think so too. And then there's the bad matches. Like I know why you push a celebrity. I know why you use it. Miz and Bad Bunny does nothing for me.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing. And you know, I like Booker T. I heard that there was a song that Booker T was in. I was excited for it.
Yeah.
Turned it on. I had to turn it off. And it was unfortunate. And I don't dabble in the Latina music quite as much as you do, but mm-hmm. I just mm-hmm. didn't seem to – I don't think my brain works enough to follow along with the song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my problem.
Not quite as developed as my Mississippi brain.
No, I mean, you were certainly closer to Miami, and I believe you would weekend down there to South Beach.
Mm-hmm. With the weekend.
Yeah, and you had the roller skates, I know.
It was fun. It was fantastic. The match I hate the most on the card, do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
I just can't believe, of all the storylines in all the world that they've ever done, this Fiend and Randy Orton story just will not stop. It's been going for months and months and months and months. And I know they're going to have probably a cinematic match with a lot of gaga, and it'll probably be very well done. I just can't be bothered.
Where's the exit on this?
I don't know where
the
exit is.
We need an off-ramp.
I feel like we're about 10 miles past the exit.
Yeah.
Because you've dedicated Alexa, Randy Orton, and The Fiend all to one story for the last three. Like, when you pull out of this, where are they going? Because they've all been hyper-focused on each other for so long. Now, I assume somebody's getting a long break after Mania, because this is going to be one of those matches where they're going to have to almost bury somebody.
Someone is literally going to have third-degree burns.
Right. They're going to do something crazy. I think it'll be their cinematic match this year. I think we'll always get a cinematic match now at Mania since
I've not thought about that.
They've been so good.
And they've had one together before where it was
the Firefly Funhouse match.
Well, yes, but even prior to that, the one where they were in, I guess, Sister Abigail's house.
That's
which,
right. Yeah,
was okay. I mean, it felt like a movie. It definitely was cinematic.
Remember the Mania match they have where they put the stuff on the floor, the ring?
The worms and stuff? I couldn't stand that.
That wasn't
great. That, I'm trying to have a little dinner here and, hang out with the wife, and next thing I know, I'm looking at worms. I don't need that. I mean, I like Boogeyman and all, but I was not a fan of that. But, I mean, The Fiend, are you a Fiend guy?
I'm not a Fiend guy. I'm not a horror movie guy.
Where are we going to go with this?
I don't know.
Like he's just hitched his wagon, his career, if you will, to being a part of this sideshow gimmick. I mean, it's trying to be The Undertaker, but it's never going to be that.
Well, when he started and he had the intro with the lamp, the head, the lamp, I thought, yeah, this works, man.
But, absolutely.
But they couldn't resist the temptation to just go full horror show with it, full special effects, full everything. And once you do that, the believability's gone out the window. And believability's not that big of a deal in wrestling because everybody's in on the gag, everybody's in on the joke. But you can't be setting people on fire and then coming back 3 weeks later.
Right.
I feel like once you get set on fire, you've just determined. I don't know. They're going to wrestle at Mania. It's my least favorite match of the card. Of the four main events, we have Sasha, Bianca. We have Asuka, Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's title. And then we have, we've already talked about the triple threat, Roman, Edge, and Bryan. And then you have Drew and Bobby Lashley. What's the main event of this show? It feels like it's probably Roman, whatever match Roman's in at this point.
I'll start by saying I think it's a no-brainer, and it would be a missed opportunity if you didn't have Bianca and Sasha close out night one.
I agree.
It's for, I was going to say the wrong reasons, but also the right reasons. I think that there'll be a lot of publicity to have two female African-Americans close out Mania. And I guess you might know better than I. Has there been a Mania that featured two African-Americans one-on-one before? So
Certainly not a main event, right?
Right. So I think that's the way that they're going to go. But to counter that, that means that I agree the triple threat also has to be a main event. So that's two SmackDown main events. And I could see the Raw folks being like, hey, man, throw me a bone over here.
Yeah, but I don't think Asuka and Rhea Ripley is far enough up to really have a claim on it because this is kind of a thrown together thing. Now, hopefully it is. I love Asuka, but I'd love for this to be like the coming of Rhea Ripley, where she just shows up, wins the title of Mania, and then her career is off and running. I've said on this show, I'll say it again, I believe Sasha Banks is the best wrestler in the world right now. I don't think she's the best women's wrestler in the world. You smiled.
I've had a come-to-Jesus moment with Sasha. I was not on board with her for quite some time, but over the last few months, I've really changed my tune with that. I think she is absolutely phenomenal. And just seeing her at Fastlane in the tag match, and I'm looking at the other competitors in there, no disrespect to them, but they're just not on Sasha's level.
No, not by far. I agree. I guess I had a different kind of path with Sasha. She was always my favorite of this group. I was, you know, coming up in the Attitude Era in the 80s and then the 90s, you know, women's wrestling wasn't on the pedestal it is now. It wasn't built up. And I never really cared. I always felt weird watching women in bikinis or bras and pants. I didn't like it. I wanted to watch wrestling for the wrestling, and I just never got into it. But then you had the Four Horsewomen come up, the Women's Revolution, Sasha, Charlotte, Bayley, Becky Lynch. You throw Asuka in there, several more that have made the women's division a legitimate. You call the women's division because it's women, but it's no better or worse than the men's division at this point. It's just a separate division.
I mean, Hell in a Cell. I mean, my God, it seems like the women steal that show every single year. It's unbelievable what they do.
The show that flipped me on this was I never thought I'd enjoy a women's match, and it was I'm just being honest. It was NXT Brooklyn Takeover Sasha Bayley 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And
Seth crying in the audience.
That's when I became a gigantic Sasha fan. I still am today. But Bianca she's the next one, man. She's something. She's athletic. She's awesome.
You see her going over in this match?
I do. I don't think you put Bianca in this place not to put her over. I think you kind of rubber stamp her and say, this is our next star.
I think because I've just so recently got on the Sasha bandwagon, albeit late, I just am so excited for her. I would hate to see her lose that. But Bianca's exciting. I mean, is everyone really excited for Bianca? I mean,
I feel like they are.
Yeah,
it's hard to gauge because it's all a bunch of TV screens watching.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like there's a groundswell. It feels like that she's kind of got that rocket ship behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the last main event is a main event that if you booked it 5 years ago, you get laughed at. If you booked it 3 years ago, you get laughed at. Drew McIntyre doing the best work of his career. Bobby Lashley looks like an absolute million-dollar star every time he's out there now. This is the best Bobby Lashley's ever looked, the best Drew. I think they're the problem now. Here's their problem. They built this whole thing to give Drew his moment at WrestleMania that he didn't get last year.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly what they built. Their problem is Bobby Lashley has ascended to a level that it's hard to take the belt off him right now, too. He's as red hot as he's ever been. And MVP and Bobby Lashley together are a tour de force there. You have two guys in a one-on-one match. I can make a legitimate case that both of them should win this match.
I think maybe you have to have go no holds barred with it in order to kind of make it more believable to have Bobby drop the title. I mean, I think we all agree that that is what will happen. But I feel like that Sheamus match at Fastlane was so phenomenal. I mean, just these two big bruisers going at it. I worry that the match will feel a bit similar to that, and I'm curious to see how they might pivot.
I don't think that's a bad thing, though. Last three months, and I don't know where Keith Lee is. He's in the void right now. But Keith Lee had a match with Drew that was incredible on Raw. Mm-hmm. Sheamus and Keith Lee had a couple of matches that were great. Bobby Lashley has had matches. Like, they've got four or five hosses on the Raw side now where it's just like they put them in there, get 10 minutes, and it's just physical. It's go after you, and it's very good. I think Lashley and Drew are going to be a hell of a clash.
Steal the show, though?
Come no, on. Not steal the show, because I think that triple threat's a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been a fan of the big guy wrestlers, I suppose, or maybe it's big guy on big guy.
Yeah.
We're talking wrestling here. And,
well, let's not rule anything out.
Okay, no, it's early. And so, I don't know. I like the fast high flyers, the RVDs of the world, if you will, still teasing that a little bit.
I didn't love the – I didn't mean to cut you off. Like, I didn't love the Andres or the Undertakers or the Canes when they were on there. Like, but now I think they kind of perfected a Hoss match where these big guys aren't just lumbering, plodding guys. Like, Drew particularly, I mean, he can do everything that the small guys can do.
No, that's a very fair point. Yep,
I'm into that match. But it's gonna.
Bobby looks like $1 million. I mean, he really does. Put a suit on him, you know.
Wrestlers
no
in
more
suits.
Lana.
Wrestlers in suits always works.
And it's fun because they try to get physical in that, and then you know, remember the time The Rock couldn't get that button.
But let me give you examples of wrestlers in suits, okay? So wrestlers in suits, it has worked with Bobby Lashley because wrestlers are big, good-looking, physical guys. You throw a suit on them, they're going to look awesome. So Evolution, tell me how that wouldn't work without the suits.
No, man.
The suits? Remember when Chris Jericho got serious in 2008 and he went from like Y2J and he had the feud with Shawn Michaels and he started coming out in suits?
Oh, yeah, when he was hanging out with Big Show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris Jericho in suit. It's just suits work in wrestling.
I think it makes it feel like a legit sport, especially now. I mean, with the Conor McGregors of the world showing up to events looking like $1 million. And, I mean, my God, Seth Rollins with the – I don't even know if you call that clothing. I mean, he looked like he had murdered a peacock and then just taped some feathers together.
He did.
Yeah.
What if he did and you made a joke about it? Some poor peacock wife was sitting at home.
I don't think it's a joke. I think I would be alerting the locals and hopefully PETA to have a groundswell and go after Seth. I mean, I know he's, with a brand new child, and I would hate to see him go to trial or have red paint thrown at him or his baby. But,
that's my advice. If you're a wrestler and you're not over, throw a suit on. Throw a suit on. See how it goes.
Throw a suit on.
I don't know who that would apply to right now, but.
A cummerbund too. Loved the $1 million
everything.
Man with the cummerbund.
Suit. Just God, suits are so good on wrestling. All right, so that is WrestleMania. WrestleMania taking shape. Yeah. Everything good. Right. Yep. Hall of Fame. Let's have this discussion. The Hall of Fame. This is taking shape too. We've got. The lady. Who's the lady? Was it Molly Holly?
Yeah, Molly Holly.
Molly Holly. Good for her. She seems. I've never worked at WWE, so I don't know the inner workings or how people are viewed from inside the company, but I've never seen a person say a bad word about Molly Holly.
No, she was certainly a workhorse, showed up every day, lunchbox worker, is that a saying?
Lunch pail.
Thank you. You're right, no one could say a bad thing about her. She certainly had a lot of gimmicks that I think a lot of people might have said, hey, is this really the direction we want to go? No,
right.
Team player, let's do it.
So now in the last couple of weeks, we have learned that Kane That was on the bump last week.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
You didn't see it coming?
I didn't. I thought Kane was maybe a few years away, to be honest, because I don't like to think, and not joining the Hall of Fame certainly doesn't make you no longer able to compete.
Right.
But I still saw him maybe a few more rumbles to kind of keep his record alive.
Still a couple more bullets left in the chamber for him.
Exactly.
So Kane is going in, which is, I think he's the headliner of the class, no-brainer. Again, he debuts 97. They nailed it from the start, and he was just a steady guy for almost two decades. Whenever they needed a big, intimidating presence, if they needed to get somebody over, whatever they needed, Kane could be the monster, Kane could be the bridge, Kane could be whatever he needed to be, and he was always – the music always played. It was always entertaining. It was never a character where I was like, God, Kane again? I never got to that point. I think some people have, but I think Kane – a fully no-brainer Hall of Famer. Certainly we'll have The Undertaker go in 1 year. Triple H will go in. But as you go through these first ballot no-doubters, Kane near the top of the list.
Kane is the head of the class for this one.
I would think so.
Not the great Khali. I mean, does anyone have a better walk to the ring than that man? I swear I do.
Is that a walk to the ring?
I don't know. The bottom half of the body is not connected to the top half of the body. And, you know, I do.
I wish I was like that. I wouldn't have four kids.
You have four kids?
I have four kids.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Very successful penis. So.
Wow. So they're just going to raise that up to the rafters? I mean,
is
the penis retired from baby making?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, no. We folded that thing and put it away.
Yeah,
like
right.
Like a flag of a dead soldier.
Yep. Right there. And there was the trumpets playing. And it was really a great event. Mm-hmm. Man, I wish I knew you at the time. I would have been there.
Oh. So, Great Khali was going in.
Yeah. I was watching WWE India, as I'm sure you watch.
All the time.
Yeah,
yes.
And I didn't see it coming.
It's a spicy show.
I didn't see it coming because it's not a lot of it is in English. I'm lying. For all I know, it's completely in English. There is a WWE India show. I think it's a recap show that airs exclusively on YouTube.
I knew they did
YouTube.
A pay-per-view a couple of weeks ago. Or not a pay-per-view, but a special event.
That's right. They did.
For about a month ago, I guess.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's a lot of money out there. You got
to go get it.
Cater to that crowd.
Speaking of, so now, RVD. RVD is a no-doubt Hall of Famer. Even if you just talk about what he did in ECW, he's a Hall of Famer. But he also had a good run in WWE. He was, I think, WWE champion or world champion. I think he's WWE champion when he beat Cena, right?
Yep, that's correct.
So he was WWE champion. They probably put the belt on him about 5 years too late. I thought 2001, during the invasion, there was Rock, there was Austin, and there was RVD. He was very, very hot, and he never got it then. I thought he could have got it 01, 02, around the Triple H reign of terror, 02 and 03. Mm-hmm. RVD probably could have got a run there. Didn't get it, but he ended up getting it later. RVD, for sure, a Hall of Famer. I never got into him very much.
Tell me about that.
So
you want to lay down? I want to hear.
There's two reasons. A, his ECW stuff, excellent wrestler, incredible. That fucking whistle. I can't stand that whistle. Bill Alfonso, the manager, just ruins matches. I can't watch it.
Oh, come on. It's a small part of it.
Is that a small part? It's just nonstop.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, does the... The trombone that Xavier walked out with bothered
you? No,
that's
funny. That's funny. I'm sorry. I'm telling you my opinion.
Yeah, you're right.
You're trying to correct my opinion.
Okay, so Bill Alfonso, we're not a fan of him.
Not a fan of him, but
his work was great.
In fact, I was in Jacksonville AEW a couple weeks ago, and we were backstage. I was just watching Jerry Lynn talk to Don Callis, Chris Jericho, and he was just telling stories about his matches with RVD. It was incredible to be able to watch that. But you go back, those matches were incredible. So in WWE, here's the thing I didn't like about Rob Van Dam, and this is really stupid, but I hate it. I hate it because a lot of people have taken up this mannerism. I hate that every time he did the frog splash.
Oh, yeah. I'm on board with you. I know where you're going with this.
I hate that every time he did the frog splash, he would land on somebody and immediately coil up and hold his ribs
as
if he was hurt. And he would always take it 3 or 4 seconds before he would pin. And he did it every single time. It's an offensive move.
I have that written down. That is my probably one and only major issue with RVD.
Every single time.
Oh, my gosh.
And
it's an offensive move. I mean, what are we doing here?
And, Macho Man Randy Savage, when he hit the elbow, never. never got up holding his elbow.
No.
Eddie Guerrero never did this when he did the frog splash. It's an offensive move, and I hated it. It took me out of his matches every time he did it.
And just the kicking and the back and forth. And I mean, it takes away from it because you know he's still going to go for the pin once he, you know, 10 minutes
it
go by and then he gets
it.
On
yeah.
there. But, I mean, that's what's fun about a top rope move like what Macho does. It's elbow and then right to the pin.
Right.
Why couldn't someone say to him, like, you know, or maybe he has bad ribs. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, then don't do the frog splash.
Give him the D'Lo Brown catchers.
When he did the Rolling Thunder, that always ended up in a splash, right? Didn't he?
Would jump onto the back. Yeah, but he wasn't selling his back like he was 80 years old.
There were other moves that would jar his ribs.
I would love to, if we ever get a chance to talk to RVD, and I say we, you, that would be a great question to ask. Or maybe that's an off-limit question. I don't know.
I would hope that isn't an off-limit question.
He better be prepared to have a good answer.
Smoking weed and hanging out with
he was doing some stuff at Impact for a little bit, which I guess he maybe knew.
I guess that's
the Hall was coming, and he needed to distance himself.
Yeah. So
50 years old. Can you believe it?
No. He does. He seems like a perpetually young guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I great wrestler, awesome. Those were two presentations of his character I didn't like, and his butt sweat. He had a lot of butt sweat.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Yeah, well,
I did love his different singlets. They were always singlets. I don't know why I'm pronouncing it like that. They were always a lot of fun. Worked in the yin yang. It would always sneak in a 420 somewhere. It was almost kind of like a Where's Waldo every time he came out. Well, I mean, I would assume that at some point you would have had to stop doing it. I know Road Dogg, and by the way, we wish him the very best.
They
certainly sold plenty of merch with 420 on there, but that, you know, eventually stopped. But I think up until even his last match would sneak 420 in there. By the way, would you believe this? RVD, 4-0 at WrestleManias. Among active wrestlers, he has the longest WrestleMania win streak.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I
went on Wikipedia.
There's two things that are shocking about that. A, he doesn't strike me as a guy that, like, they used him a lot of ways. He didn't win a whole lot of matches. Like, he won matches, but to go 4-0 is surprising. The second thing is he was only at four WrestleManias.
Yeah.
Because he seems like he was around forever.
Yeah, I mean, he would come and go, and you're right. You would think that he would have had more opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly to be 4-0, I don't think he was having any championship title matches.
No.
Certainly the first was the Money in the Bank, which was, I guess, the second Money in the Bank, which was, I guess, in L.A. The other active streaks, Matt Cardona, 3-0 at WrestleMania.
Zack Ryder.
Yeah, Zack Ryder. And then number two, what was it? I don't know.
Oh, good.
I don't know. But RVD's in good company there with Matt Cardona. Shouts to Matt Cardona. He's a great guy.
I've been talking to Matt Cardona.
One of the funniest guys you'll ever meet.
Really? Oh, man. He's going to be on the show soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He's a Long Island guy.
He's a childhood friend that works here.
He has a childhood friend that works here?
Mm-hmm.
One of the funniest things he
ever... At least that's what the guy tells me, so I assume he's right.
I'll tell you, I pop so hard. He tells me he loves talking about his toy collection. He says that his house... it's going to be on an episode of Hoarders. I mean, there's no more room to walk around in. But he goes, to get through the house, man, I have to do the Scott Hall walk just to get through up to the bedroom. I'm like, that was funny. And I'm sure it was funny when he said it, I repeated it.
It was funny.
No, I thought it was creative. I mean, and I'm sure he, you know, drops that bomb all the time.
Yeah, he's probably
it's in the Rolodex.
It a lot.
Yeah.
And Eric Bischoff in the WWE Hall of Fame. The chief rival of WWE at the heyday, or WWF back then, certainly somebody that took it to Vince more than anybody's ever taken it to Vince. Vince not used to the direct competition that could actually stand up to him. Eric Bischoff did it, but, you know, all that water on the bridge, Eric Bischoff ended up joining WWE as a on-air talent in 2002. He's been on air. He's been backstage some. He's been on air. He's been backstage. He's kind of gone in and out of WWE for about 15 years, but certainly, you can't tell the story of wrestling in North America without talking to Eric Bischoff. Easy peasy Hall of Famer.
Yep, and I think it comes at a pretty obvious time. I mean, you talked about WCW being the rival. Who's the WWE rival right now? AEW. I think that there was worry that the clutches of AEW and Cody Rhodes might have tried to get him involved in AEW, and this is a surefire way to avoid that, at least for the time being.
Well, he was just there. He was just on down by a month ago.
Right, he was right there with you guys.
Right by me, yeah.
Yeah.
So
he looks great, by the way.
He does. He's
a handsome older gentleman.
Shockingly nice guy.
Very nice. I've
shockingly, like, you don't think, you think Eric Bischoff think, because he's always played an asshole.
You're right.
And he's a super nice guy. He was really nice. Took time with me.
Good listener.
I was nobody, you know. So it was, that was cool. All right, I'll go very quickly because I feel like we're probably taking more time than we need to take. But I'm having fun talking wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's your Hall of Fame class as it is right now. I'm not missing anybody, right?
I mean, 2020 is going to be included in this, right?
So I don't think I don't think they're – are they?
I believe
Batista,
so. NWO, Batista's out for some reason. I'm fine with that. Batista has blocked me on Twitter, and I'm not happy about it. So
what'd you do to Batista?
Well, there's a really funny moment where Mark Henry comes down during a Raw, and Henry gives him a headbutt, and Batista does a supercell.
Yeah.
And I've posted that video a couple times, and I applaud the sell, and I guess
he
saw it as ironic. And I'm a big fan of Batista. I always supported I guess I was anti people that called him out for being Blue Tista. I thought he looked great in the blue trunks. Not a lot of other people did. So, Batista, I know you're a big listener of the show. If you could take the time to click that little button and maybe unblock me, that would be great.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
If he's listening, I'd be shocked.
Oh, I think he's listening. I think so.
All right. You think Batista's always listening? He's like,
I mean,
why are you whispering? He's not here.
Sure about that?
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. Let's go with. Now you worked at WWE for a year, which we'll probably get into that some other day, some point, because I'd love to just pick your brain about some certain things about who was mean, who was not, how good the catering was, shit like that. AEW, All Elite Wrestling. You haven't been allowed to talk about it for a while, probably, right?
I actually tweeted out an AEW hashtag for the first time ever
this
week. It felt okay, but certainly I've had to...
You still spooked a little bit?
I have to, you know, restrain myself. I've had to restrain myself, and, you know, I've certainly watched it and am a big fan of it, and, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we wouldn't really talk about it.
Yeah.
But everyone knew about it.
I love WWE all the way back to my childhood. I love NXT, but I love AEW. I love professional wrestling. And anytime, I never looked at it. Of course, if you're in WWE, you're competing. If you're in AEW, you're competing. But when I was a kid, Sunday morning was for WWF, All American Wrestling. I got to watch Hogan. Saturday night was WCW. I got to watch Flair or NWA at the time. So I just always say the more the merrier. I just want options. Anyway, AEW's kind of rolling along pretty good right now. And I just love this group that I think MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, is not the future of AEW. He's the future of professional wrestling. I think he's the most promising young wrestler in years. In the ring, he's good, but outside the ring, he's elite. He is absolutely phenomenal. Maybe the best mic worker to come along in since The Rock.
Yeah, it feels like the 90s when he gets in there, and the way that he's able to carry the story, but then also hit these zingers. I mean, my God, was he going after Jericho hard the other night? And that was just incredible. I mean, I'm laughing. I mean, that's what part of wrestling should be, is
specifically the laughing. He said, you're not breaking any walls down. The only thing you're breaking down are the chairs you're sitting in.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And what did he say? Something about his hairline, too?
Yeah, he was vicious. So the Pinnacle, I think they have the best tag team in the world, which is FTR. I love them. I hope it's only a matter of time before they get a run on top, another run on top. As they'll clash against the Bucks, and it'll be a great match. But I just love this Pinnacle group. I love MJF. I love the direction. I love the fact that they're aligned with Tully Blanchard. I love everything about this group and what it means for the future in AEW as far as the storytelling and all that. Not a lot to talk about with AEW because they're not really, you know, they're kind of coming down off Revolution. They'll start ramping up towards their summer pay-per-view in a little bit. But Darby Allin's next program looks like it was with Matt Hardy.
It's nice to see him having a program with someone, you know, not named Sting.
And
that took up a lot of his time.
I thought the Darby Allin program with Team Taz and with Sting beside him was a little bit too long. Kind of took the TNT title out of circulation for a couple of months, which is not what you want to do to your TV title.
Right.
Now it's back. He just defended last week. Actually he's defended twice in the last 2 weeks. He defended Scorpio Sky in a great match and defended against John Silver in a very good match. So I'd like to see where Darby's going. I can't imagine they're going to keep MJF and that group away from all the titles very long.
Right.
So I figure they'll clean up with Inner Circle, and then MJF is probably going after that TNT title. If I just had to,
I'm just wondering, why do you think Matt Hardy and Darby Allin? I mean, it seems like were they just throwing darts against the wall? And, they landed on Matt Hardy.
I think they want to reestablish Darby Allin as a fighting champion, and the TNT title is a very often defended title. Matt Hardy now has a group around him that he can throw like two or three guys at him, and then get to the final boss, which is Matt Hardy. It won't be the greatest thing in the world, but you'll get a solid enough match, and it'll be a victory over a name in Matt Hardy. So you can use him that way, I believe.
There have been some great quotes. I guess Jeff Hardy was interviewed recently, and I guess he talked about how he's been getting compared to Darby Allin or vice versa, and Jeff has felt really good about that. And I wonder if that might come up in a storyline where, hey, Matt, you're not your brother. I mean, something like that. We know AEW is certainly okay with talking about the competition.
Kind of blurring that line if they have to. Yeah,
that would be neat.
That's interesting. And then here's a question that you answered in the negative, and I thought it would be in the affirmative. My text to you or my email, whatever it was, would you rather shoot your own eyes out with a blowtorch or watch Cody Rhodes and his wife's new reality show? And you said you like the wrestling reality shows. Total Bellas, Total Divas?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know how it happened, but my wife was always into the Real Housewives. I didn't really stand for it, but it would just be on, and I would be like, let's turn this off. Next thing you know, I'm shouting at the TV saying, yo, don't call her a bitch. You shouldn't be doing that.
No.
And so the Total Divas, Total Bellas was a way for us to, I don't want to say reconnect or, save our marriage. That would be a bit extreme. But we would watch that together, and it was fun because it had the wrestling for me. It had the storylines and the gossip for her. And basically, I don't want to be a blind person. That's the thing. I mean, no offense to anyone who is. I'm sure we have some who are.
I worked for Jake the Snake for a couple of months. I had a match at WrestleMania 7 against the model Rick Martel.
I love that match. Not
I kind of like
does.
It, too. I like
Man,
it,
when
too.
When they bump butts, that was so funny.
Yeah, and the crowd keep making a noise when they would
grabbing the ropes and everything.
I thought it was good, yeah.
Yeah, oh, man, me too.
Well, I'm a sucker for that whole mania, though. Seven gets me. All the time. I every single match. Even the opener with the Rockers and the Hakim and Barbarian. I love it. I can watch every second. There's certain manias I can watch every second of back and forth. Seven's like that. Eight's like that.
Seven, it's just
three's
top
like
to bottom.
That. 17's like that. X7, excuse me, I should say.
Warrior Savage, Jake Roberts Martel.
Warrior Savage Hogan, with Liz at the end is my favorite moment in the history of professional wrestling. The Liz reunion with Savage at the end of Warrior and Savage at WrestleMania 7.
Yeah. I'll tell you, there's a lot of great gifts out there from that. I think that there's that one woman wearing the shower cap who jumps up and down.
Yeah.
Big Boss Man, Mr. Perfect, British Bulldog versus the Warlord. I mean, my God.
Right. I think there was the Nasties beat the Hart Foundation in a decent little match. And, of course, Slaughter and Hogan.
And Undertaker started his streak.
It's Snuka, yep.
Yep.
So NXT TakeOver looks stacked. You've got Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole, which is probably the match I'm most excited about in the next couple of weeks of wrestling. If you take into account everything, I would watch Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole wrestle in a parking lot, wrestle on TV, wherever. This is going to be incredible. You got Cross against Finn Balor. I assume Cross will go over and he'll kind of start his reign on NXT, which should have started in the summer. He got hurt. NXT is the most dependable entity in wrestling. When they put on a takeover, it's going to be great. It's going to be entertaining. And I can't wait for NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver 2-night event before WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. I guess the first night will be on USA Network.
That's
and then
right.
Over to the Peacock. And I know you're a big fan of the Peacock.
I don't want to talk about that this week. I'm struggling.
I had to get it.
For 7 years, man. 7 years. I could watch anything I want to on WWE Network.
It was my comfortable blankie.
It is my blankie. I went to bed every night watching. I still go to bed watching Peacock. But I go to bed every night watching WWE Network, and I was watching Superstars. I was watching everything in the world. And now they're taking it away?
I love going down into that obscure stuff, like just the rabbit holes of like, you know what? Let's watch a Raw from like 94.
It's
and
so
just
good
see what
to
happened.
Just do a random Raw. That
no
you don't
commercials?
Even, you don't even read the intro. You just play it.
Oh man! And then you can even jump around. I mean, the way that they chaptered
each other. It's okay. It's fine. It's
no,
fine.
we're gonna get through this. It's gonna be fine.
Do you think they'll fix it?
I hope so. I don't know though. I guess it's all about getting people to pay to do Peacock. But I don't even like the name Peacock.
Which part do you hate? The Peacock.
Well, I mean, I don't like having to like say the word cock. I mean, I know it's not exactly what that means, but it's a bird with a perverted name. Mm-hmm. And I frankly don't like the idea of being around my young children saying, well, hey, I'm going to go turn on that peacock.
Well, you know, cock is describing a bird to begin with.
Well, somewhere.
It's only later in life that we decided we would refer to our penises as cocks.
Well, I wasn't involved in that. And
I wasn't either. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but it is what it is. And, you know, I think it was a missed opportunity to just call it. I was going to say.
I kind of like it.
I was going to say the P channel. That's even worse.
That's much,
much
worse.
Much worse.
I kind of like it. Hey, my wife looks up at me at like 9:30 at night. I'm ready to go to bed. She said, where are you going? I said, going to watch Peacock. give her a little wink.
A little wink. Yeah.
Little wink. Hey.
Okay.
But
okay.
I don't have to go unless in case you want Peacock. Anyway, all right. So NXT TakeOver Stand Deliver. It will be April 7th, Wednesday, April 8th. And we have got one of the principals, one of the main eventers, one of the future stars in WWE. His name is Karrion Kross, and he joined wrestling to talk about that very event. Let's do that right now. All right, welcome back into wrestling, and I have said it before, I will say it again. There's no company on earth, there's no promotion on earth that knows how to do a big show better than NXT. When NXT decides to throw a takeover, they put on quality from start to finish. They know how to do the big shows, and this will arguably be their biggest show yet. April 7th, April 8th, NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver will be headlined by NXT champion Finn Balor. Against our guest today, he is, of course, former NXT champion Karrion Kross. But before we get to all of the great news, I'm bringing him in right now, Karrion Kross. But before we get to all that, Mr. Kross, yesterday you tweeted something very, very controversial, and I'm not going to let it stand. You tweeted, Demolition Man is one of the greatest movies ever made. That is all. And that was the end of your tweet. Sir, the floor is yours. Defend this take, please.
It's way better than Shawshank Redemption. I don't know what you're talking about.
I wasn't going to talk about Shawshank Redemption. I was just staying in the Stallone universe. I think if we're going early 90s Stallone movies, Cliffhanger is very underrated.
Are you all? Hold on a minute.
It's underrated. Wouldn't you argue that Cliffhanger is underrated?
What's your boggle?
What are we off to the start? Okay. I'm saying Demolition Man's a fine movie. Fine movie. I just think
all right.
Certainly Judge Dredd is just as good as Demolition Man.
Well, you know what? Judge Dredd is very good. At those platform boots, you can't beat that.
I agree. And I think if you're looking for a change in the future, platform boots could be your direction.
I don't want to
be the guy that tells you it's your career. So if you want to do like the Cliffhanger thing where you just go shirtless in the snow, fine. If you're going to Judge Dredd where you do the platform boots, fine. Whatever. But that tweet got my attention because anytime you start talking Stallone movies, you're talking my language.
Okay, all right. I understand.
So let's talk your language. NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. I went on about it just a second ago, but I really believe since 2014, I believe there's been, I don't know, if there's been 32 of them, 33 of these things now, NXT TakeOvers, they are never not great. They are always fantastic. The competitive atmosphere in NXT is fantastic, but now Karrion Kross will be main eventing against Finn Balor. This is the biggest show NXT's done yet. It's a two-night show. How do you feel about that, being on top of that show?
I feel very good about it. I'm very motivated, man. I'm very motivated. I can't wait to ping-pong this guy off the building. I'm going to beat the hell out of him.
So that's aggressive, but I understand that's where you're coming from. Finn Balor, one of the greatest champions in NXT history. He was a champion in 2014, 2015. He goes on, becomes a Universal Champion, comes back. He's been on top of NXT for a while now, ever since a certain champion had to give up the title due to a shoulder injury. Talk about the specialness of facing Finn Balor, because this could be anybody. No matter who's in there, you'd be going for the title. But Finn Balor is one of the great NXT champions of all time.
Absolutely, I agree with you. And a question that I get asked all the time is, do you feel like he's, you know, the real NXT champion, or, you know, he's a valid NXT champion? Absolutely. He's had amazing matches in my absence while I was recovering. And since I've gotten back, I wouldn't want to face anybody else in NXT other than Finn Balor at this event. It's important to me because this is an opportunity for me to get back on track to where I feel like we could have been had this not happened. This is a way for me to it's an opportunity for me if I can win this, and I'm absolutely certain I can, but if I can win this, I can manifest the original vision that I had for NXT. I can bring things to life that people haven't seen before, being the NXT champion and defending. So it means everything to me.
So you were at the top of the mountain before. You won the title from Keith Lee in a banger of a match, but that match ultimately cost you the title because of the shoulder injury incurred there. How unsatisfying was it to get there and have to go back through the journey again?
I mean, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. Just a freak accident. I mean, I don't really know what else to call it. It was very strange. When the whole thing happened, it kind of felt like everything was going in slow motion. Like I can't even begin to tell you all of the things that went through my mind right when that happened. I just knew that something was wrong. I tried to shove it back in too. I was trying to push it back in. I was hoping the production people back there didn't see what had happened because I thought they were going to stop the match, but there was no way I could push that back in. So I did my absolute best to carry through with what I could. And the way I look at it is like this, you got to find silver linings and things, right?
Right.
How many times a week do we see somebody get on TV and try to sell you or people at home how tough they are? They're trying to tell you how tough they are. They've done this. They've done that. You can tell anybody whatever you want. You can project whatever you want at anybody at any given time. But actions speak louder than words. And at that moment in time, I had a real opportunity, a very serious opportunity to show people that I wasn't just here for the good times. Mm-hmm. I'm here for all of the times. My shoulder was completely separated. Like I still don't even have some ligaments in my shoulder right now. I opted out of surgery. It took a holistic approach. I rehabbed it myself and I came back way faster than I could have. So I looked at that as an opportunity to show people how tough I really am. I'm not going to have to sit here and sell you on it. I'm going to show you. I came back in record time and that's the perspective that I've adopted out of this. Otherwise I'll just lose my mind, which I do occasionally on Wednesdays.
Now listen, I don't really like to go on about how tough I am, but I have never broken my shoulder. So perhaps that makes me one of the toughest men in the world.
Perhaps. I mean, if you get that platinum blonde, you know, Wesley Snipes hair as well, you could be even tougher. Just saying.
That is commitment to the bit. That is commitment to the bit, and I like it. I thank you for that. That is a callback to the original Demolition Man. Still, cliffhanger, not bad. He's hanging. He's shirtless in the mountains in ice. I'm going to win you over on this cliffhanger. It's all right. Don't relax. We'll talk about that later. So I talked about the legacy of NXT and legacy of NXT TakeOver. I don't know what happens inside the NXT locker room when a takeover is coming up, because you guys do great shows every Wednesday night on USA Network. But there's something about takeovers that are just different than any other promotion in the world. What is it that makes NXT takeovers so great from start to finish every single time out?
NXT, I feel like, is its own separate brand within WWE. It's very hard to pinpoint exactly what's different about it versus Raw and SmackDown. But there's something intangible with the energy in NXT. And everybody knows what I'm talking about if you've seen it. There's a different level of commitment. There's a different level of performance. I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm just saying it's different. It's just a different vibe. There's a certain level of intensity that all of us bring into these shows. And we're going to bring it at Stand and Deliver, as we always do at every takeover.
So I think at some point, and I'm just talking about my experience as a fan. I'm not in the business. I'm not in that locker room. Certainly NXT started out, as everybody knows, as developmental. But now we've got Finn Balor. I don't think you could argue he's being developed for anything. I don't think Karrion Kross is being developed. I think these are just these are huge stars under the NXT umbrella that, yeah, maybe Raw or SmackDown is in somebody's future. But NXT is such a standalone force right now that I don't even know what I'm trying to say, really. I'm just saying the developmental went out the window and it has developed into one of the greatest products in the wrestling world.
I agree. And I'm sure all of us would agree with that statement as well. We're doing our absolute best to elevate each other and elevate the product, always.
Take us through the thought process on your entrance, because your entrance is an event unto itself. It's something the hell else. It is absolutely every week or every takeover you come out with your entrance. Did you have a lot of input on that coming into the company?
Yes, I did, but I will be honest. There is a lot of unsung praise that the production team in WWE never gets. They love to, you know, they love to spotlight us, and of course we love the spotlight. But we all had a lot of assistance. That whole entire production team that nobody ever talks about. We all came together to create that. But Scarlett and I had a major role in putting that together. But the assistance of everyone is what you're seeing in getting that created. And I like to I like to put some attention on them too. So, but yeah, I mean, it was awesome. The whole idea behind that was, you know, her and I always try to approach things like, what can we do that's different? We can do callbacks and we can do nostalgic stuff. Sure. We know we're aware of what people loved about, you know, 90s and early 2K in the business that might not be everywhere right now. We are aware of that. Like the fans and us are still alive. You know what I mean? So where we can, we'll bring that back. But what could we bring that was new and felt different and unique? How can we contribute to everything that everyone's contributing to in NXT, but do it differently? And that was kind of our brainchild in that process. We love retro horror movies, if you haven't figured that out.
Right.
You already know about my affinity towards Demolition Man, which, you know, I'm not going to let this go, by the way.
It's fine. It's fine.
I'm going to win you over.
No, we're going to get through it.
But I don't know if you'd ever seen this one, but Repo, the Genetic Opera, her and I are huge. We love theater.
Okay.
We thought that there were some concepts and ideas between horror and theater that we could integrate into this presentation. So that's kind of what people have been seeing.
Does it get you, does that entrance, does that get you in the right mindset to go into the ring? Because I know a lot of people's entrances are, or they're able to plug into that character in that moment or plug into whatever they need to plug into to get in the ring and do what they need to do.
Absolutely. It's a complete disassociation to who I am outside the ring to completely get into that place that I need to be and bring that to life for people.
I had a question, and this is just between me and you. Did you consider maybe wearing a bigger shirt today?
What are you talking about? This is double XL.
Okay. On a doll, maybe. What you're just busting out of your shirt. I'm sitting here, a 41-year-old man with man titties, and I got my Nitro shirt on, and you're just busting out of your shirt over here.
Well, more potatoes and more chicken, man. I mean, you know, you had that little cup right when we got on. I was like, he could be, you know, you could be eating a double XL. Look how little that is.
I mean,
how much protein and carbs in that?
I'm eating my Popeye's lunch, man. Okay, relax. It's fine. Real talk. Who had the better entrance, you or Disco Inferno?
That's very disrespectful.
To Disco Inferno or to you?
To the both of us. Okay. Why would, like, want to put me and Disco in a cage match? That's essentially what you're trying to line
no,
up.
No.
I'm Disco in NXT.
Here's the thing. So you've never listened to the show. I don't know why you would. But every week I play three theme songs to get me in the right mindset to do this show. And it's always three random theme songs, right? Sometimes I'll play the DX theme or I'll play the NWO theme just to get me where I need to be to talk old school wrestling because that's what I want to do. I played Disco Inferno's theme song about 6 weeks ago, and I have played it every show since because for some reason that disco fever, yeah, gets me in the mood every single time. Now, your music's great. I'm just saying gets me in the mood where I need to be. Maybe that says
so you're a lot. You're basically saying that when you listen to Disco Inferno's theme music, your chart buster power goes up at least 2 to 5%.
It does. It's very embarrassing. And when I said it out loud, I immediately wish I hadn't said it.
Well, now it's out there. We can't take it back.
Well, I haven't. But no, I can edit this. I can make it seem like you said it.
No. Don't do that.
All right. So real talk. Let's get serious for a second. For the last year, obviously, WWE, NXT, everywhere in the wrestling world, everywhere in the real world has been dealing with COVID, with doing these live shows in the either in the Thunderdome or the Performance Center. COVID vaccinations are something that's out there right now. COVID vaccination. I know the WWE has launched some PSAs about COVID vaccinations, and it's a very important initiative from WWE right now. Just speak to that and why they're important.
It's important to have options to improve your health. You know what I mean? And all of us would like to get back to normal. So this is definitely a move in the right direction.
I got a question. I did some research on you because I can read. I'm from Mississippi, but I can. Have you read Art of War 40 times?
I have. I have a hard copy in my house. I probably read it more than 40 times, but yes.
You know, why do you read it so many? You just read it over and over and over. How long is it?
It's a little long, but I'll tell you this. I read the same books over and over and over again because it's the best way for me to retain the information. And I think it's a good read, just like reps on anything.
Okay, fair enough. See, I've never read The Art of War. I wouldn't know where to start. I wouldn't even know where to buy it. But if it results in me main eventing an NXT pay-per-view one time, maybe I should do it. Maybe.
You know?
Okay, so I also read where the first match you remember watching is Hogan Warrior WrestleMania 6. Is this correct?
Yes.
So WrestleMania 6 would be 1990. So that makes you, you know, late 80s, early 90s. This whole podcast, wrestling, is a throwback to when I grew up, and I became a fan in 1987, WrestleMania 3. So you incorporate a lot of that old wrestling knowledge into your presentation, into what you want to do with your career. Was it that match that hooked you, or did it just get you started and something else hooked you?
There was, for a long time, as a wrestling fan, before even being in the business, I was trying to pinpoint what it was specifically that I loved so much about this, because there's a lot of things to love about it. That specific match, that memory of being a child, and it's like one of the first memories I could even recall.
Right.
That's been with me. Like, I've been pre-programmed. Like, it's been with me. I think the spectacle of these two giants mm-hmm. being in the center of a building, surrounded by people, you know, and just warrior being there and you know, just winning, and the energy and everything, that spectacle. I was like, it was just mind blowing. It just stayed with me. It never left me. That moment in time never left me.
I hear what you're saying, and it makes so much sense to me, because as somebody who's in the arena now, and you're going after that, and you're going to create that in your career of these huge moments and these huge legends. But just seeing Hogan and Warrior, it was two titans at the top of their popularity, the top of their game, in a gigantic stadium, and every single move, every single whip, every single everything got a huge reaction. And the finish was so hot, because you had Hogan missing the leg drop, and you had Warrior, and the crowd didn't even know what to do. They just blew the roof off the stadium like four or five times. And it's one of the moments where I can look back, and I also, WrestleMania 7, when Savage gets back with Elizabeth, those are some of the moments where I look back and say, if you ask me why I'm a fan of this stuff, just watch the way it moves these people. And I love your explanation there, because you have taken this and made this your life. And coming from that moment, it makes a whole lot of sense. That's an awesome explanation. Thank you for giving me that explanation.
Absolutely. And you summed it up too. It's like these moments, right? It's the accumulation of all these things, and then this payoff, that stuff stays with you.
So your last NXT title match, we'll talk about it briefly just to set up this one. It was against Keith Lee, which is a markedly different opponent than you'll be facing in NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. You won the title from Keith Lee. It got taken away, but now you've fought back, and you will be facing Finn Balor. What do you see out of Finn Balor, the opponent? What kind of match is this going to be?
I think he's one of the best NXT champions that we've ever had, if not the best to this point. He, in my opinion, is the total package in terms of what he's able to do in the ring. If I had to imagine how this is going to go, if I had to visualize it, he's going to try to be faster than me. He's going to try to get behind me. He's going to go for submissions. He's going to go for small joint manipulations because I'm a bigger guy. How I'm going to prepare for this is, rather than dropping weight and trying to get faster and keep up with him, I'm going to get bigger and stronger, and I'm going to cut the ring off. And when I get a hold of him, I'm going to put my elbow through the back of his head.
You wrestle a very physical style, as you just very, very subtly articulated. Finn Balor's had some very physical matchups. Pete Dunne is somebody who's a very physical wrestler, as well as Kyle O'Reilly. He's got three title defenses in those physical veins like that. This one, you'll be his most physical opponent to date. Do you think you can out-physical Finn Balor to this title?
100%. And we got a little taste of that last week.
All right, so let's just look forward. Let's say NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, which is April 7th on USA Network, April 8th on Peacock, and WWE Network worldwide. Let's say Karrion Kross wins his second NXT title. What's the expectation? If you're able to hold that title up, what would happen this time around once you get that belt?
This time around, everyone's going to get to see exactly what I had every single intention of manifesting into the NXT universe. This is an opportunity for me to be able to showcase the vision that I had for everyone before I had separated my shoulder from Master Keith. It's going to mean everything. Everything that I've gone through, all of the years, all of the days, all of the time that I've put in, all of the other massive special events that I've missed in my life, to dedicate everything that I have into becoming who I am today, it'll all mean something if I can pull this off. And I'm very certain that I can.
Are those kettlebells in the back?
Yes.
I mean, come on, man. I understand that I have to work out. I understand that I'm a little jiggly, but I work here all the time.
You know, I actually think you're a big guy. I would blame the WCW shirt. I would blame the shirt. You okay. can blame them. You can blame them.
I understand. Listen, I've been around a long time. I know a lot of shit gets blamed on WCW. But, hey, I like the shirt. You don't like the shirt? You're my age. You're not my age. But...
I think it's a pretty cool shirt, but I'm just saying you could blame the shirt if you want.
Because WCW, that is always the answer. That works. All right, that is possible future NXT champion Karrion Kross. I'll ask you one more question because I didn't ask this. I skipped this question. WrestleMania is coming up. WrestleMania, the grandest stage of them all, right? Now, this will be WrestleMania week. This will be a part of the WrestleMania festivities. This is like the WrestleMania for NXT. Do you look at it like that? Do you look at it as leading? Because I feel like, I'm just projecting here, I feel like Karrion Kross has a couple of WrestleMania moments in his future. Is this the start of that?
I would think so. I think that's a fair statement. Absolutely.
Oh, you really like that. I see that. I got a smile on his face now. I gassed him up a little bit. Everything's all good all of a sudden. All right, he's got terrible taste in Stallone movies. I'm just kidding. I watch Demolition Man all the time.
Yeah, see? An honest man.
If a movie came out before 1995 and stars Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone, sign me the hell up. That is Karrion Kross, possible future NXT champion. NXT TakeOver April 7th on USA, but he will main event on April 8th on Peacock and WWE Network worldwide against Finn Balor. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know this. It will be one hell of a match and one hell of a spectacle. Excuse me. Thank you very much for joining me. All right. That was Karrion Kross. Seems like a decent guy.
Seems great, yeah.
Terrible taste in Sylvester Stallone movies.
Did
you like Demolition Man? Do you remember Demolition
Man? I did.
Are you old
I
enough
did.
For Demolition Man?
No, yeah, I'm old enough. Did you know that in the international versions, they don't use Taco Bell? Because Taco Bell isn't a thing outside of the United States?
A, what? And B, what?
Yeah.
Taco Bell's not a thing outside of the United States?
Apparently not big enough at the time.
Have you ever been outside of the United States?
I have been. I've been to a Taco Bell outside of...
Well, then this whole thing's a lie.
Okay, well, I have to send you the link because in the international version, it's a Pizza Hut. Everything becomes a Pizza Hut.
Can I tell you...
Isn't that wild?
Can I tell you the truth? It kind of makes me sad that Pizza Hut's gone downhill recently.
I love Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut's my favorite chain pizza restaurant.
So good, so fast.
They used to have the fucking... they would give away the March Madness basketballs every March. Pizza Hut's had some cool shit, man. Every Pizza Hut in the country had that Galaga machine sitting there that you could sit down and play Galaga or Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm. I remember having birthday parties there, and they let us go in the back and actually load our pizzas in.
I didn't get to do that, have the birthday parties there.
Oh, so good.
It had the building that had the hat on it, the red hat.
Remember the red drinking glasses?
Yeah, of course I remember
those
the
red drinking good.
Glasses.
Those were good. Those were good.
Pizza Hut was good.
Bottomless sodas.
Pizza Hut was
good.
And
the pizza was good, too. Very unique taste.
I like the pizza.
Oh, I thought it was wonderful.
Cheese breadsticks?
Oh, don't even start. I would load up on that Parmesan cheese.
I just love I love Pizza Hut. What were we talking about?
I have no idea.
Pizza Hut.
Cool. Demolition Man. Yep.
No.
We
just made the list. We always do our top five somethings every week. Today, since Mania is next week. Next week, I think we'll do our best Manias. This week, we're going to do top five WrestleMania venues first. All right, we're about to break down our list of the top five WrestleMania venues, stadiums, and whatnot. Before we do that, guys, we're going to get serious for a second. The last year has been hard on a lot of people. That's why we're doing something new and partnering with our new sponsor, BetterHelp Online Therapy at Barstool Sports. We truly love and appreciate our listeners. I know I do. You guys are ride or die for me, and I appreciate that. Without you guys, none of us will be able to do what we do every day. I think about that all the time. There's a market out there for my services. It is you guys, and without you, I am nothing. So once in a while, we try to bring you something great. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's not. A lot of us take care of our bodies, but with as tough a year as this has been on so many of us, we got to think about taking care of our minds. We go to the gym, we eat right, but are we taking care of our minds? That's what we need to do. There's a misunderstanding of what therapy is. It can be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be sitting around talking about your feelings. It can just be, it's whatever you need to be, and it is fantastic stuff. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing that therapy is
what therapy is really all about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Walker. That's my last name. That's BetterHelp.com, betterhelp.com/Walker.
You just made the list.
Okay. All right. I will start. Would Please. You like me to start?
Absolutely.
I'm going to start at number five.
Okay.
Number five was a terrible WrestleMania, but the venue was cool. They probably went a little too far with the Cleopatra and the togas and all that. But it is, you see a still shot of this, you know exactly where it is, you know exactly what it was. It's a fucking parking lot in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Caesars, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because they did all the, so it is WrestleMania 9, the venue in Las Vegas. I think as bad as the Mania was, as bad as the toga stuff was, it's still a cool visual. I loved the venue at Vegas.
We got to see Bobby Heenan on a camel backwards. Coming out backwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, I popped so hard for that. It was so funny.
I love Bobby Heenan.
Oh, jeez. And favorite. We had the double doinks in that one as well,
yes,
against
the
Crush.
Double, long before Chicago Bears had mm-hmm. double doink, we had the double doinks against Crush.
Yep.
Which, very good. What's your number five venue for WrestleMania?
My number five is the Sky Dome.
Toronto
Still
Sky
to
Dome.
This day, the first and only WrestleMania to be held outside of these United States of America. Mm-hmm. And
well, two of them now.
Well, yes, two. Mm-hmm. But I'd be hard pressed to find, a main event that did not feature two of the biggest matches, the high powered, high wattage superstars, Hogan, Warrior, and then at X8,
Hogan Rock,
and if you had that match, the Hogan Rock match at the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim,
right.
I don't know if we get that same sort of reaction. So maybe this is me thanking the venue, but also thanking the fine people of Toronto, because that was one of the greatest WrestleMania moments, and they helped make that happen. So I can't speak for loving all of Canada, but I certainly do love Toronto, and that will always stay near and dear.
Spoiler alert, I love Canada, and Sky Dome will make another appearance on my list. So number four, WrestleMania 31, San Francisco, Santa Clara, I believe, outdoors. I'm a sucker for outdoor. I'm a sucker for that starting in the daylight, ending in the dark of night. I just love that. I love that atmosphere. It gives an atmosphere that you can't replicate anywhere inside a building. I love the venue. WrestleMania 31, it's in the San Francisco 49ers Stadium, and I believe it's in Santa Clara, right?
Yep.
So not really San Francisco, but Santa Clara. That's my number four, WrestleMania 31.
My number four is the historic Atlantic City Convention Center, at the time known as Trump Plaza. Back-to-back years 3 and 4. This was a cool little venue. It felt like a circus tent in there.
It did. It I kind of punished it because the manias were kind of long and boring.
Right.
But it looked like people just went on forever inside that thing.
It felt a lot
look.
Bigger than it actually was. And for some reason, I just giggle the fact that they made those wrestlers go down those stairs. I mean, my God, if Titus O'Neil had to go down that staircase, I mean, he'd be a paraplegic now.
That gold-ass walkway.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, you see Liz coming out, you see Savage. I can see him emerging from that little curtain and just walking. It was a very narrow walkway, too. That's a very unique situation, unique spot.
And
like
at four, that bracket was just insane. It felt like it was like a March Madness 64 superstars.
A lot of people think Mania 4 was terrible. It has a nice nostalgic place for me because the tournament is standalone. It's just perfect snapshot of that time in wrestling. Number three, WrestleMania venues. It gets no bigger than the biggest WrestleMania to that point. Indoor attendance record. Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. Again, this was another one that started in the daytime. It was in a dome, but you could see the first match was in the bright of day. And by the time Hogan and Andre came out, it was dark and it was like lit perfectly where only the ring was lit at that point. And it was just like this sea of darkness. And I don't know, that Pontiac Silverdome 1987 WrestleMania 3 is as big time as it got. I love that venue.
I mean, they only hosted one WrestleMania, I guess one and a half if you count the time Hulk Hogan thought he was at Pontiac Silverdome at WrestleMania 30.
Right.
Still hilarious. Never gets old. But you're right. That indoor record lasted for, I think, nearly 30 years. It's unbelievable. And did they have the little cart, the little carts?
They did.
Those were
they
so
did.
Cute.
They did. They had them for that one and six, right?
Yep.
They had them for that one and then the Sky Dome at WrestleMania
mm-hmm,
six.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love the carts. I can remember. Well, I won't get into memories now, but. What's your number three?
Yeah, I guess I had the Pontiac Silverdome as well. So
for number three?
For number three. What else is there to say about that? Hogan versus Andre, I mean, one of the great moments when he slammed him and threw him down. I mean, that was just incredible. And I never knew that there was a Pontiac, Michigan, and they named a car after that city. I needed to see that WrestleMania.
I thought they named the city after the car.
Oh, no. Oh.
I don't know. I always...
I thought that they just...
they probably did name the car after the city. That
I think
makes
they
a lot
just
more sense.
They just picked a lot of...
I always
of all the vehicles, too.
I always thought...
We really love that Pontiac.
Hey, the Grand Prix and the Grand Am were everywhere in 1991, brother. Yeah, I guess I always thought...
Township of Ford Focus.
My number two is the Skydome, Toronto. It is the only one on this list that has two iconic events, happenings. Hogan Warrior was made by the crowd just as much as Hogan Rock was. I mean, they were split. There's the famous image of Warrior standing on the top rope looking out in the crowd, and somebody has the picture of Hogan, the long picture. I mean, that's just a beautiful – I mean, Edge was in the crowd. It's just – Sky Dome, to me, was the perfect place for Mania. And back in the late 80s, early 90s, this happened April 1990, Sky Dome was like – the coolest thing ever because it had the retractable, it was the first one with the retractable roof, and it was awesome that they played it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward. Are we going to catch? Please tell me you got.
What?
Please, just come on.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to help me out?
That's my number one.
Okay,
I mean,
okay, good.
Okay, yeah.
Number two. You go with your number two.
I'm going with the Rosemont Horizon,
really?
Now known as the Allstate Arena.
Yeah, home of WrestleMania 13.
Yep, 13, 22, and parts of 2.
Mm-hmm.
2 and 13, but they really made up for it. WrestleMania 22, we got Edge versus Foley in that legendary hardcore match.
Yeah.
Mysterio versus Orton versus Angle, triple threat. And going a little bit side track here, I don't think there's been any other venue that has held more pay-per-views than that Rosemont Horizon.
Really?
I don't know what that mayor's doing to get those events, but they seem to every year they get a Survivor Series or a Rumble. It's unbelievable. It's a very old arena. But a lot of history there, and that's my number two.
Yeah, they got the. You're right. Two and a third Manias were held at the Rosemont Horizon. But I think you poo-pooed 13 a little bit because it did have Bret Austin.
I see it there.
Did have Bret Austin, which is it, the crowd made that.
Yeah.
My number one, and I'm leaving the other number one to you, because when I think of your number one, I'll explain it later. When you say it. But my number one is just, to me, the most beautiful WrestleMania there ever was. And I can't explain it. It's just some... I just remember Shawn coming down and doing this pose. And then it was in a baseball field. Seattle. WrestleMania 19. It then called Safeco Field. I have no idea what it's called now. It was called Safeco Field. I thought it was the best-looking WrestleMania ever. It was in that Pacific Northwest. You know, you had some sun for a while. Then you had the sunlight, the moon, and everything. But it just something about the way it was built, the ramp, it was just perfect. It said everything about WrestleMania. I don't know. Maybe I think I might be the only one that nostalgizes for that particular Mania, that particular setting. I thought Safeco Field was the prettiest Mania ever.
It was a very unique setting. Was that partially roofed, I want to say?
No, that Safeco wasn't roofed at all.
Okay.
It was just a pure open baseball stadium.
Yeah. I mean, what an interesting city to choose, I mean, for a Mania. I mean, Seattle. But, that was a really good
That's
spot.
My favorite, and I'll let you go with number one that would probably be most people's number one.
Yeah, no, you know, again, New York guy, New Jersey guy here, my home arena, Madison Square Garden, the arena is amazing. They've had three WrestleManias there, 1, 10, and 20, and all three of them were just spectacular. One, you have Junkyard Dog versus Greg Valentine. That shouldn't have been the lead there. Hogan, Mr. T versus Mr. Wonderful and Piper. And then you go to 10, and you have yourself a ladder match.
10 was incredible.
That was just so good. Bret Owen, and then Bret, you know, going over Yokozuna mm-hmm. by the end, by night's end. And then 20, you know, that was Cena's first WrestleMania, so that's kind of a big deal. Very interesting about the shape of Madison Square Garden. They always kind of had that short little ramp.
On the side, yeah.
Yeah, which it was tough because you were just, I mean, I'm sure it was great for the crowd. You're just so close to it, but you kind of do want a little bit more of a ramp. I mean, basically you take three steps forward and you're, you know, yeah, you're in the ring. But a lot of history there, and yeah.
But they used it very well. Like at Mania 20, when Undertaker made his return to the Dead Man character, remember they framed him walking into the shot right there, and then he had that slow walk forward. That was a beautiful way they used it. 20 was an excellent WrestleMania. It also had Rock and Foley against Evolution. And then, of course, the main event, which I don't talk about anymore, but it was very good. You had Eddie Guerrero against Kurt Angle. Very good Mania. The reason I didn't put MSG on my list, I just feel like it covers all of wrestling, not just Mania. Like, it also has some of the best Rumbles, some of the best SummerSlams, some of the best Survivor Series. 96 Survivor Series was there. Like, it is the home of wrestling. I don't consider it the home of WrestleMania. So that's why I didn't put it on my list.
It's the trump card.
I mean, I will get heat that for that. But for not having it on my list. I just see it as MSG is to me, WWE's home and always will be. And Mania, I just wanted something a little bit more outside the box.
Yep.
You just made the list!
Okay, so that was best venues. I made an executive decision. We told you we might do the worst Manias. We started doing it. I didn't really like it. I didn't enjoy the segment. I felt like it wasn't.
Getting angry. Like we were starting to feel a little dirty.
Hit me in the jaw.
I get excited about when people talk badly about WrestleMania 9.
You assaulted me. I've never assaulted a coworker since that one time.
Jesus, only my second week here.
All right, so we actually scratched the segment. For the first time in wrestling history, we recorded it and we scratched it. So it is, hopefully Aria made sure he cut it. Jake is making the notes to cut it right now. Aria's back home doing the editing. So there you go. Now we got voicemails. Huh?
Yeah.
Voicemails. Let's do some voicemails. Let's get the voicemails up in here. Let's see what people want to say about wrestling.
All right. We are about to get to the voicemails. Before we do that, I got to tell you about one championship. The home of martial arts comes to prime time in the U.S. It's one championship's biggest month in history with 4 weeks of blockbuster events in April. Immediately following AEW Dynamite every Wednesday night. Don't miss one on TNT at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Witness nonstop martial arts action in MMA, Muay Thai, and kickboxing in a cage. It's a martial arts spectacle like you've never seen before. It kicks off this Wednesday, April 7th, with one on TNT 1. That's one on TNT Part 1. After winning the grueling one flyweight world grand prix, 12-time UFC world champion Demetrius Johnson seeks to cement his legacy as the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. In order to achieve GOAT status, DJ will have to dethrone six-time one flyweight world champion Adriano Morales, who promises to be the first man to finish Mighty Mouse. Plus, four-time UFC and Bellator world champion Philadelphia's very own Eddie the Underground King Alvarez, who is out to prove he belongs among the elite in the promotion after a challenging start. Standing in his way is dangerous number two lightweight contender Lauri Lapikus. Lauri, go Lauri. Or Lauri Lapikus, that's my guy. One on TNT airs Wednesday night, April 7th on TNT after AEW at 10 p.m. Eastern time on TNT. Catch the lead card starting 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on Bleacher Report. The best fights are on Wednesday nights.
All right, here's the voicemails. Voicemail number one.
Oh, Brandon fucking Walker.
Yep.
Don't you dare be sour.
Good start. Yes, it's a new day. Yes, it is.
Thank you, Brandon Walker, for making this awesome podcast. I have two questions for you real quick. They kind of go hand in hand. One, you got to play some theme songs. How do you not play the Imperium theme song? Walter walking down, chest flap. Oh, and then he's facing Ciampa. Play No One Will Survive at the beginning of your podcast. I bet you you're excited.
Okay, relax. Let me produce this show.
2003-2004 SmackDown. Their theme song is also really awesome. My second question is, how hyped are you for actually both of Walter's up-and-coming matches at NXT TakeOver, taking on Tampa. I think that's going to be a barn burner. And then Rampage Brown. I don't know if you've seen any of Defiant Wrestling on YouTube, but check out Rampage. Him and Walter, two powerhouses. I wouldn't be shocked if the ring explodes.
Well, let's not joke about the ring exploding.
Again, thank you so much. Awesome podcast. Been listening since day one. Been a lifer for wrestling, too. Thank you, man, once again.
All right, so he is...
I didn't know this was the number one wrestling podcast. This is exciting. I was not aware.
It's very much not.
Oh, okay.
It will be eventually.
Okay, no, we'll get there.
It's growing.
You'll get there.
It's growing.
Oh,
we got old Conrad in our sights.
Yeah.
Which is pretty easy because he's very big. Both in stature and in his body. No, I've said this before. I've talked to Conrad about this. I told him the reason I got into this was because of you, because I'm very inspired by the way you've built an empire out of nothing. So
was that your first time getting a chance to chat with him when you went down?
Yeah. First time I ever talked to him. Well, I DM'd him once, and he had DM'd me once. But, yeah, I talked to him at AEW. So, anyway, he asked first of all, I think this voicemail was just Walter's publicist.
Yeah.
I think this was just one of the Walters. Imperium's theme's good, but it's an actual song, right?
Yeah. A real song.
So I don't really get it. Like, I've never played Daniel Bryan's song. I never played that I don't know.
It gives me World War II vibes, which kind of bothers me a little bit. I mean, I am a German-American, so I maybe should be proud of that song, but it gives me the willies a little bit. And maybe that's why it's a good song to play, but certainly it wouldn't put me in the right mind space for a podcast.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten into Walter that much either. Like, Walter's, I don't think he's an acquired taste. He is somebody, I mean, his matches look like they just hurt. And he is something else. Now, his match with Dragunov, I believe, maybe I'm saying his name wrong. It was incredible. It was awesome. But I know that his match with Ciampa will be awesome because Ciampa's involved. It'll be hard-hitting. It will be incredible. And it will threaten to steal the show at NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, which will have four or five show-stealing matches. So I can't wait to get Walter more involved over here on this side of the pond and we see more from him. I have never seen Rampage Brown in my life, so I can't speak to that.
I wrote it down to look it up. I will say the Ciampa theme song is a good theme song.
Is it?
Ciampa
is.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with voicemail number two.
Hey, Brandon, Aria, it's Pat from Winnipeg. We are on the home stretch for almost at WrestleMania, full WrestleMania season, so I got a WrestleMania question for you. What would be your favorite celebrity appearance moment at a WrestleMania? I think some of them are really great. There's some that have been really terrible. They got Bad Bunny. I don't know what a Bad Bunny is, but he's coming in and he's going to have a match. So I'm actually kind of excited for it. I think The Miz is going to carry that and really make it gold. But in your opinion, WrestleMania history, what was the best celebrity moment, celebrity appearance in your opinion? Thank you. Love the pod.
Does anything pop to your head?
Well, it's a no-brainer. I mean,
what is it?
I mean, PR.
What?
His initials are PR. First name, Pete.
Pete Rose. WrestleMania 14 when Kane...
It was there for three of them, right?
Yeah. And he came back physical. As a San Diego Chicken the second time and tried to sneak up on him. Yeah. I Pete Rose is a very good one.
Yep.
He was very into the joke, into it. Bob Uecker is probably my favorite because Bob Uecker, they put him on the mic and he was so funny and so good. He was at WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 4. I would go Bob Uecker very, very high. Steve Allen at WrestleMania 6 doing the funny stuff
singing
with the
in the showers,
that was funny.
Bob Uecker is a good one. I mean, when Andre choked him, that's a classic,
iconic image.
Absolutely.
Regis
Philbin.
Is it weird? Is it weird that like I want to say The Rock at WrestleMania 30? just The Rock showing up these days is a celebrity appearance.
Yeah.
All right, voicemail number three.
Hey, Brandon, this is Jason from New Jersey. I was wondering your take on the role of general managers in the different shows. I was watching NXT last week and just thought William Regal does an excellent, excellent job as general manager there. And just wondering your thoughts on why more shows don't embrace the general manager role.
Well, I feel like WWE with the McMahons kind of really overdid the authority figure for so many years. And I like I go back all the way to Jack Tunney when he would just come and they would just do these appearances, and he was never a character per se. He would never do anything as far as character development. He would just lay out the law. This is going to be this match. It's going to be this match. I like that type of GM, the kind of guy. Like Adam Pearce is doing it right now. Adam Pearce is pretty good at it, where he just shows up, gives you a fair accounting of everything, listens to the sides, and then makes a match. I like that. I don't like the evil general manager ever. I don't like the face general manager, which was Foley back in 2000. He was very good at it. But I just like a straightforward, okay, here's what it is. And Regal is very, very good at it. I'm trying to think of others who have been great over the years.
There's not a lot of them. I mean, Regal really is, you know, head and shoulders, I think, above yeah. the rest. But, I mean, Shane, Mick, I mean, it's not my cup of tea.
I like Mick was good because he would do the backstage segments with the wrestlers, and it was always funny and good. But when it comes to getting in the ring and making matches, again, the McMahons kind of ruined the concept because it was always screw the babyface because it worked with Austin for so long. It was then they moved on to doing it with Rock, and they do Daniel Bryan. It's always the same story. So I don't mind general managers. I like them when they're unaffiliated and kind of third parties.
I think you have to have one. I mean, because then what are we doing here? Just a bunch of wrestlers.
Yeah, I do think you need to have one. I even go like to Lucha Underground, Dario Cueto. He's very, very effective and good as the yes. kind of course, he's evil too. But I just love I want the wrestlers to be in the center. I don't want the authority figure to be in the center. And I'm not hating on McMahon's because they've often done it very, very well, and Triple H has as well. I prefer the Regal type, and Regal's probably the best at it. Let's go with voicemail number 4.
What's up, Brandon? Sam from Chicago here. Just wanted to call. I feel like most of the time we always talk about, you know, the A-level wrestlers, and want to know your Mount Rushmore, you know, who's Shawn, is Undertaker, or whatnot. But I want to know more or less who your B-level, how you rank certain superstars. So today I have a ranking tag team list.
I love this.
Two of each promotion. But how would you rank the following? Faces of Fear, Doom, Ron Simmons and Butch Reed.
I know.
Twin Towers and Natural Disasters.
Oh,
wow.
Okay, Twin Towers. Let me write them all down. Natural disasters. This is an incredible question. All right.
I got Twin Towers and Natural Disasters.
It's Faces of Fear, Twin Towers, Natural Disasters, and Doom. You know who Faces of Fear were? That was a WCW name for them.
What's WCW?
It's World Championship.
Doesn't compute. Oh, that's right.
Faces of Fear was Barbarian and Ming. Barbarian, Haku, and WWE. And then in WWE.
Love the Barbarian.
In WCW, there were the Faces of Fear. So I go, I think out of this group, I'm going to rank them 1, 2, 3, 4. And I am going Twin Towers 1. Twin Towers really helped tell the story. This was Boss Man and Akeem back in 88, 89. Helped tell the story of the Hogan-Savage breakup. They were just huge monsters. Boss Man could go. Boss Man's a very underrated wrestler. I go Twin Towers 1. I go Natural Disasters 2. Again, Earthquake on his own was a main eventer. He main evented SummerSlam in 1990. I love Natural Disasters. I go Twin Towers 1. Natural Disasters 2, Doom, a very close 3, and a distant 4th is Faces of Fear, who never really got a proper run as the champs in WCW, Barbarian and Haku. I remember Barbarian more from the Powers of Pain with the Warlord in WWF. And, of course, Haku was in the Colossal Connection and the Islander, so this was like his 3rd or 4th best tag team. Again, Twin Towers 1, Natural Disasters 2, Doom 3, Faces of Fear 4. What do you got?
Faces of Fear 4, Doom 3. I'm going to just jump right. I just loved hearing Twin Towers and Natural Disasters. I mean, yeah, those guys, I can just hear Earthquake's music, just R.I.P.
That rumble.
Oh, so good. You know, I'll go Twin Towers 2. They were really, really good, and it's tough to, you know, say anything bad about them. I thought Boss Man did an excellent job. Not a natural tag team wrestler per se, but certainly made it work, made the gimmick work. Natural Disasters. I mean, as you said, Earthquake, a main eventer, and brings Typhoon in, formerly Tugboat, which that was one hell of a gimmick.
Yeah, Tugboat wasn't working, and they switched him to heel. The heel turn was very good. I think he turned heel on the Bushwhackers on just prime time.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Natural Disasters. I would have no argument with them one or two.
It's a great question, though. I mean, we're really going bottom of the can here.
It's very off the wall.
Yeah.
How many more we got? One more? Last voicemail. Let's go.
What's up, Brandon Walker, you beautiful son of a bitch? This is Sully from Delco. If you don't know what Delco is, go talk to Rome. Go talk to Kate and her new baby. We'll explain it to you real quick. Let me break something down for you. Love you. Love your show. That Kalisto guy, hope he doesn't call back because I want to kick his ass. He's not elite. Kalisto's not elite. That's why he's not on TV anymore, all right, pal? My question for you, Brandon Walker. A lot of good 900 wrestler combos out there. I want to know what your dream combo is, or one you would like to see that has never been seen. I personally would like to take 2012 Paul Heyman in CM Punk days and his Brock Lesnar days. I'd like to pair him up with somebody like Psycho Sid. I think that could be really good.
Ooh.
Psycho Sid was a maniac, but it just looked like one instead of opening his mouth ever. Had Paul Heyman talk for him. Probably would have skyrocketed his life. Tell me what you think. Get back to me. And also, suck it.
Okay. All right. So my thought goes to the greatest manager of all time with one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. I go to 1987, the year he helped turn Andre and make him the biggest bad guy in the world. I take Bobby the Brain Heenan. You know who he manages? Same year, different company. He manages Ric Flair. Ric Flair, now when they got to WWF in 1991, he was loosely affiliated with him. He had Mr. Perfect at ringside and then Bobby Heenan calling the shots. But Bobby Heenan at his peak, Ric Flair at his peak, that's the greatest wrestler-manager combo of all time.
Man, you're going in the time machine. I'm going to keep it right here in the present. Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. I mean, let's just start with Paul Heyman. I think he could be managing a duck, a turtle, any other zoo animal you could think of, and you know, get him over and probably get him to a title. But I mean, Roman, I was like, he's okay. But I mean, we were all booing him. I mean, and they were forcing him down our throat, but Paul Heyman comes aboard and just changes it on a dime, and now I think it's one of the best stories going right now, and I think it's all a testament to Paul Heyman. He's doing an amazing job.
I love that answer. It's right in front of our face.
Yep.
All right, so those are the voicemails. Thank you very much for calling, for listening, and we're going to transition into our Raw talk right now.
All right, I'm back on Tuesday morning for the quick Raw recap. Not a lot. It wasn't a great episode of Raw. Seems like most of the stories have been told. We're screaming towards WrestleMania. There was just one. First of all, before I get into that, this was kind of an experimental episode with trying out the co-host and giving my voice a rest and not putting so much on me and all that. So let me know. I would like for you to you can either DM me on Twitter or you can email barstoolwrestling@gmail.com. Let me know what you thought about today's show with the co-host, whether you liked it, whether you didn't. It's a very tight-knit community we've built so far with wrestling. I get the same voicemailers, the same emailers. I appreciate you guys. I'd like to know what you thought about it, and we'll see about the show going forward, see what we like. But give me an honest appraisal of how you thought it went and whether that's the direction we want to start going sometime soon. Okay, so Raw last night, not a whole lot. But there was one thing that just continues to amaze me about the internet. The internet wrestling community is so damn stupid. They just don't understand obvious storytelling when storytelling is obvious. Like last night, the Hurt Business broke up. They had in the first segment of Raw, they had this big public breakup where Shelton Benjamin threw Bobby Lashley and everything went haywire 2 weeks before the main event of Mania, where Bobby Lashley is defending. And this is a week after Bobby Lashley and MVP put out a bounty for Drew McIntyre. If you can't see where this is going, I don't understand how you've ever watched professional wrestling. It's obviously a fake breakup. They'll get back together and the Hurt Business will collect the bounty. And that's how things will go. And the internet is losing their mind. Oh, why did they break up the Hurt Business? Why did they do this? Shut up. Are you stupid? Have you ever seen stories told before? The internet loves to diagnose a half story as a failure, and they love to go off the deep end. If you can't handle something like this, why are you watching this shit? I don't understand it. Reminds me of Daniel Bryan, the lead up to WrestleMania 30, where it was obvious he was going to end up in the main event of Mania. There was never a doubt. They didn't go the traditional route of winning the Rumble, but people were freaking out. Oh, there's that. And people still to this day will say they wanted to go with Orton versus Batista, and the fans forced Daniel Bryan in. No, that's just what that was the story was. It was so obvious back then. It's obvious now. And this is an obvious story, too. And the internet just can't handle rudimentary, basic storytelling. Anyway, not a whole lot from Raw. This was a long episode. I appreciate you getting to the end of it. And I thank you. Again, BarstoolWrestling@gmail.com is the email address. You can always hit us up on Twitter @Wrestling, on Instagram @Wrestling. My Twitter is @BWalkerSEC if you want to hit me up personally. Thank you. I think Aria will be back in studio next week. Aria, is that right?
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm hoping everything's good. I'm waiting on HR to let me know.
Well, you know what, Aria? I mean, we got a big trip next week.
I know. I know.
Well, I want to make sure I don't want to go alone.
All right. I need to be there.